could he call us gurus?
Enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts. No business exists without marketing, because without customers, you have nothing.
The absolute game changer in terms of that autonomous growth of your business.
Having these conversations with your customers, clients, whatever they may be, apply some of these things for yourself and you'll see the value in it.
Beer time.
Beer time. Manners?
Yeah.
Cheers.
We won't be drunk, but we'll need the loo.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a place where you come for advice and debate on business and marketing and understand some of the challenges, the biggest challenges you might face and how we can help you overcome them. My name's Rob Lyon.
And I'm Simon McMahon. And the marketing landscape has never been as complex as it is now. And there's so many businesses doing marketing wrong and making marketing a money pit and not getting the right results at all. This is the place where you'll learn how to do it right. The Contenting Business Podcast.
So I guess we thought, because all content should be entertaining or interesting, and it's January, we wondered about why not, let's try some non-alcoholic beers. As we're both beer fans, we've inherently struggled with non-alcoholic beer just because being beer, God, I don't know, could he call us gurus?
Enthusiasts.
Enthusiasts. Yeah, we thought it'd be interesting to try some and see if there's any of these new ones on the market. Certainly this one especially, I was shocked to even find, being a, you know, a very well-known Belgian beer. Let's give some a try as we talk.
That the Lachouf is sometimes hard to find, just the normal Lachouf is hard to find in shops, let alone an alcohol-free one. So that's good going.
Yeah. Well, where should we start? What do you think? Should we start with there? Why not?
Normally I would say, that's a really strong one. Do you really want to start with that? But it's not going to be strong.
No. Let's go for a lager. I'm going to pick it out of the hat.
That's an easy one.
Let's go for an Asahi.
Yes, I can. I actually haven't had Asahi, the normal Asahi, for ages, so I can't even remember what
I'm already alarmed by the colour, because it's got no colour at all, which is always a sign, isn't it? Good thing is we can have as many of these as you want.
Oh, yeah.
Manners?
Yeah.
Cheers. A little smell. No, it just smells like bad alcohol-free lager, but that's the smell.
Yeah. Yeah. Wheaty. Like I say, I can't really remember what Asahi is supposed to taste like. I'm pretty sure
it's not that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it didn't taste like that.
We'll keep going and we'll drop some of these in as we go. So I thought first of all it'd be useful to introduce ourselves, because we are going to be your hosts every week. And just to understand who we are and why we are, so then it gives some context to all the conversations we're going to be having. So yeah, as I said, my name is Rob Lyon. I'm the founder of Playfair Marketing, or a creative agency. And my story is a strange one in lots of ways. I won't go into the detail because it can be a bit doom and gloom and a bit deep for a first time you hear from me. But I did have a quite traumatic, highly publicized near-death experience. But what that taught me, at that point, I was a very successful marketing director in a big company. Nothing was wrong with life. But then I realized I was kind of on a sort of a hamster wheel of corporate life, nothing wrong with that. But I realized my what mattered to me most was actually being more present with my family, being master of my own destinies more so. And that's when I handed in my notice very, very soon after that, decided, what do I know best? Marketing. How can I use those skills to really, give me a life that I would want? And marketing consultancy straight away was the first place to go. I knew, had contacts in the industries I was working in. But then as the requirements of me grew, I needed people, a team. I'm quite I'm a bit of a thinker, I suppose. I'm a bit more about the ideas. I'm less about execution, which is where Si will talk about himself. But you can't just have a business full of pure ideas, people, and a business full of just people that execute. You need both. And Si is more than just an executor, but you need those two things really. And you need to work with somebody whose values align to yours. And that's something that was very clear when I approached Si. And one of the best pieces of advice is, I mean, this is good advice, probably straight out of the can, is I did reach out to people and say, like, this is employee number one for me. What do I do? And it said, just get the very best person you can afford. And the planets aligned in terms of Si was transitioning in terms of his career at that time. I could just about afford him. But the rest is history. We're now a growing, successful business and we are trying to help other people now. So that's where we are. Over to you.
Yeah, and I'm actually not classically trained in marketing at all, but made a transition from design A career in design and marketing had always been something that was really close to that for me. And my transition to marketing made sense because I love to deliver content. I love to create. I love to write. I love to understand and identify what key messages are and deliver them in the right way and in the most effective way, cutting out the noise, cutting out the fluff, and really getting to performance and resonance in terms of the message. And they're the things that we'll talk about in the episodes that follow in this podcast, is how to cut through the noise, how to eliminate your own noise, how to keep your message absolutely on point and engage customers and bring customers to you. You shared a little bit of personal story there. My personal story is that I'm a stoic, a proud stoic. I found Ryan Holiday a while ago. His content online, hat tip to Ryan. And he's brought stoicism to the modern day and made it accessible. And look it up. It's a great thought process, a great philosophy. It's all about staying focused on the things that count and what's in your control, and you know, taking responsibility and being wise, being patient, and I think, yeah, striving for excellence. And my role is always striving for excellence. And as you said, delivering. So, Rob, you're absolutely a visionary. And then working together, we deliver great content as a marketing agency for our clients. In this podcast, it's about delivering great content in the form of advice, support, and help to people like you.
Yeah, and I think the stoic part, lots of that will come through in this, actually, because I've learned from you. I've got all the Ryan Holiday books now, and lots of the decisions we make now as a business are based on stoic values about courage and bravery, and these will really resonate. Although these are, you know, age old ways, they definitely apply to the modern world, and we'll touch on them again and again, I'm sure. Yeah. I think we probably talk about them daily without even realizing sometimes.
Yeah. Should we try another beer?
Yeah. I, if I'm honest, I'm not going to finish. Sorry, Asahi, you are currently at the bottom of the
pub. Of one.
It's kind of got that caliber. You remember the old school non-alcoholic beer that Kinder's just seemed, I'm disappointed. I thought, let's go something a bit different. She goes, this should be better.
Hazy Jane.
Because Hazy Jane, although it's so common now that it's lost its glamour, it never disappoints a Hazy Jane. It's a lovely, the alcohol version, should I say. Never interested. Was this zero? So this was 0.0%. This is 0.5, which is normally a good sign because it has something in it. Look how pale it is. That's seen this first sign.
Yeah, that's paler than the Asahi, isn't it?
It's got the cloudiness, haziness.
Oh,
it smells better.
It smells like Hazy Jane.
It smells like it may have some flavour.
Good job on the nose, BrewDog.
Good health.
Yes.
Cheers.
Good health drinking alcohol-free beers.
I've had lots of these before.
That's okay.
It's not horrible.
That's okay.
It's got slightly sweeter.
It's like a muted Hazy Jane.
It's like you have orange squash as a kid. It's like this is just a weak orange squash version of a nice full fruity orange squash.
And they still call it a New England IPA. And you know I'm a fan of New England IPAs. So
yeah. It's far better. I could at a barbecue in the summer if I was the driver or just wasn't a drinker. I could cold enough on a hot day, I think I could.
Good job, BrewDog. That's a nice one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm not going to put it in the slot pocket. I'll finish. I'm not sure I have a whole can of it right now.
Yeah.
But it's pleasant.
I tell you what, we won't be drunk, but we'll need the loo.
Definitely
after trying some of these.
Slightly. I'm fascinated for this guy. As a brand, we know what this should be. It's full, flavoured, strong.
Very strong.
Could take an hour to drink that. Traditionally,
I think Shoof is normally 9%, or something like that.
I wonder if this is 0.0 or is it?
No, I've just noticed it's 0.4.
Oh, that 1%.
Yeah. Or 0.1%.
So we've got a leader. Out of two, we have a first place, a clear first place at the moment.
Night and day. Night and day between the Asahi and the Hazy Jane.
Yeah, and I suppose the next key part is, why do we create this podcast? So marketing is hard. And I've, even in myself as a business owner, the hardest part, even as a marketing agency, is marketing ourselves. Doing marketing is difficult. It is challenging. It's the bit that normally gets done last because you focus on the operational sides of your business, the functional sides. But no business exists without marketing, because without customers, you have nothing. Whether you're selling a service or a product, you always need new customers. And the biggest key for me is about showing consistency. So we'll be showing up every week with a podcast, with content, and we'll be demonstrating to you, as we grow, how being consistent, being brave, being courageous, and putting yourself in front of cameras as required, talking openly, giving value, will really resonate with people. It's a bit like I spoke to you, didn't I? It's about a really heavy wheel. We're just starting pushing it today. But that wheel will get lighter, and it will gain momentum as we keep going. And that is what will help all of you succeed. So this podcast, although we'll be giving tons of advice, we'll be inviting you to ask questions that you need answering, tactical things, strategic things about business and marketing primarily, but business as well, because there's lots of questions you'll have. We'll also be demonstrating to you how you could be doing this for yourselves, for your business, having these conversations with your customers, clients, whatever they may be. Apply some of these things for yourself and you'll see the value in it. And that's what this is.
And we'll also be interviewing other business owners, marketers, senior persons within brands and within businesses, to tell their stories as well, to share their challenges, to show their journey. And it's amazing the common problems that come through, especially when it comes to, it's called the Contenting Business Podcast because, you know, are you content in your business? And there's so many people that are not content in their business because it's not quite what they envisioned it was going to be. Mm. And the double play on words is the content in business. How are people getting their content out there? How are people engaging their customers? And like you say, it's always one of the first things, especially for yourself, that you don't spend the time on. But it can be the absolute game changer in terms of that autonomous growth of your business, rather than having to go out and try and convince people that you're really, really good business, your product's really good. Instead, you're showing your thought leadership and you're putting great content, engaging content that just talks to people and just demonstrates a need and demonstrates that you're a thought leader. Again, that's just one of the facets of marketing that we can talk about.
And I think one of the mistakes people make, and this is, we're not even getting ahead of ourselves, is because generally people start a business with a dream, which is understandable. You have lofty ambitions, dreams of where you're trying to get to. You get your first, say you're a service-based business, you have clients 1, 2, and 3. You firstly thought, well, you get excited by those three. You're so busy servicing those three to the highest of your ability because you're a good person, you're good values, you're trying to do everything you promised for those. You're aware that I've got no capacity for 4, 5, and 6. So I focus on these three. All the while you stop marketing, but then you lose one of clients 1, 2, and 3. You've got no incoming leads. You've got no marketing in the background. Therefore, you have this sort of starting all over again. And it's often described as starting a business from scratch. If you start your marketing, in the eyes of the customer, whether it's service or product-based, you're effectively starting from scratch. Everything of the past is forgotten. If you could do a podcast for 6 months every week and you stop for a month for whatever the reason, because actually we're a bit busy right now, effectively you will lose all the audience because they come listening, looking for you. You're not there. As far as they're concerned, you're gone. So it's about that consistency and making sure you've always got an influx of customers, because you should have a churn of clients. It's unrealistic that you'll have all your clients or all your customers forever. And being always on, as we describe it in marketing, is that key. And this will really give you that advice.
So many businesses go in straight for the kill when it comes to marketing as well. Actually, there's two things. So many businesses go straight in for the kill, and so many businesses go in for just one big gesture in terms of they'll put a ad in a newspaper and it'll cost a fortune and it's one ad for one day. And it gets very little traction because so much of building a reputation is a slower burn. The putting something out and immediately expecting results, it can be done if there's something really, really engaging and really, really hits on some of the best marketing. But many, many times you're just planting the seed there. You're just doing that first impression. The average of 5 touch points. The average consumer needs 5 touch points with a brand before they make a decision, usually, or take some sort of action. That one piece of work. Yes, I put an ad in a paper and it didn't work, so I won't do that again. Marketing's a waste of money. It didn't work. Is a mistake. But the other mistake is going in for the kill in terms of the messaging as well. And that means, you know, this is who I am. This is what we do. Buy my product, please. There's no talk about features. There's too many talks about features. There's no talk about benefits. There's no talk about the quality of life that the product or service can provide. There's no talk about the pain points that the customer's suffering as why they would need your service or product. There's no warming up. We always use the dating analogy, don't we?
It's a good one.
We always use it. You know, nobody just meets someone and gets down on one knee and proposes. There's the meeting, there's the getting to know each other, there's the learning to trust each other, the dating, the flirting, and then things get to, you know, a relationship develops and it gets to a point where someone's ready to commit. And although very different in terms of scenario, the actual process is very, very similar in terms of brand trust and building relationships with customers. Again, just in terms of everything that I talked about there, we'll be deep diving into how to warm up those audiences, so to speak, how to you know, put yourself out there and interest the other person in terms of the dating or flirting or that kind of thing. We'll go into those topics, and there's so much advice that can be talked about there. And there's so many, more importantly, there's so many things that we can help say not to do.
Yeah, I think it works with the dating analogy as well. With the business, you're basically trying to instill trust and offer value. And that's what you're doing when you're first meeting someone. No one's going to marry you if they don't trust you. And if you don't offer any value to them in terms of, are you a good partner for raising a family? Are you good fun? Are you offering, you have to offer something to the other person. And exactly the same applies in business and especially marketing. You need to be instilling a form of trust that you can be trusted with their money, if you are selling a product. Can you be trusted with if you're a service, can be trusted with somebody's business in some instances? You're really responsible for driving their business, protecting their business, whatever it might be. And you must be giving them some value. And inherently that's in terms of, if you're selling a product, the product you give to them in exchange for money has to deliver against your promises. It has to improve your life and give you some value. And they have to trust you that you're going to deliver against those promises. The same applies. The other analogy I really like is the boxing, kind of the whole jab, jab, right hook. It's a phrase that's coined by Gary Vee, who's probably the best content marketer that there is. And if you look at it, if you go out swinging in the first round, you're probably going to lose. But if you keep jabbing and jabbing and jabbing and wind, almost like wrong term, but grinding that customer down to that perspective, when you do say, and please buy my product, they know by that point you've been jabbing away at them for weeks, months in some instances, delivering value, letting them trust you, educating them about the product, the brand values and so on. So when you do throw that right hook, which is and it's on sale now for X, you're much more likely to land that killer punch, which, you know, gets you the win. So it's something we'll be touching on. And this is what this podcast will do a lot. You will be demonstrating that time and again, offering value. We'll be doing it to you. We'll be offering you value. You'll be trusting us more. We're not planning to sell to you. But if there is a point where we wanted to, you trust us a whole lot more 10 episode podcasts in than the first one. And that's the whole point. I think it's really important. And businesses that do that consistently well win. And that can even be down to your customer service. Being exceptionally good at customer service. Some businesses focus on making their products customer service proof. If you invest in customer service from a perspective of trying to mitigate ever it being needed. But equally, if you're, there are some brands that focus on one ring if for a customer inquiry, as an example, and you'll answer on the first ring, that person's going to, I like this company. This is just a sales inquiry and they're being very, very thorough with me. It's not necessarily pure marketing. It's how you, all the facets of your business.
Another beer?
Yeah, I might finish this one. Although, and it's not, I'm not, it's not delicious, but it's perfectly nice.
It's pleasant after the first one. I'm going to stop beating up on Asahi now. I feel bad.
I'm sorry.
I feel bad.
We rank them in front of everyone. There you go. So that's the best. We've only got a best of two right now. Where do you want to go next? I feel this is going to be more of the same. In terms of
Beaver Town.
Do you want to go there? Get these ones out of the way? In terms of these are all in the same category.
Yeah.
I have had it before. Have you had this one before?
No.
No.
It's, I don't think so.
I mean, funny, the percentage, 0.3% volume. Yeah, that's quite amazing.
You keep pouring massive glasses. That's my,
I know, I'm sorry.
That's my issue.
I thought it's because I want to see the colour.
I'm going to have a little bit.
Have a little taste.
Yeah. Like a wine expert.
What's funny, because I used to think this one was really sweet.
I can't smell anything.
Who knew? I used to think so, but after the Hazy Dream one, it doesn't taste that. It doesn't taste like beer.
There's not much there at all, is there?
It tastes more. It doesn't taste like beer, really, does it?
No,
it's got like a sweet sort of not an artificially taste, but
I think we made the mistake of going with the Hazy Jane first. We probably should have trusted that BrewDogs was going to be one of the better ones.
I'm surprised. Because, funny is I've had this before. I've bought four packs of it, you know, for a weekend. And I don't remember it being like that, but maybe I said it following.
It's not bad.
No, it's just got, it doesn't really taste
not much
like,
to it.
Doesn't really taste like beer. It's a refreshing, savoury kind of drink.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that.
And of course, in true Beaver Town style, the can looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Just
They do that better
work.
Than most.
Excellent
actually,
work.
And again, brand. I was really skeptical of the brand change for BrewDog when they went down to this path.
The shield.
I thought, that's a mistake. They had such a length.
But, yeah.
But now it's almost, they're now moving on from that again, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
we can touch, but they can because they've got a brand.
Yeah.
People know and understand. But it's better than Asahi, right?
100%.
100%. There you go. Here's a hierarchy at the moment.
Well, the thing is, it's pleasant. There's not much to it, but it's pleasant.
And I've drunk it, whereas I didn't finish that. Having started a business myself, and you know, you see when it gets to the new year, it's an interesting time. You see so many people on LinkedIn doing all their, you know, review of 2023 and the journey, and so many reference surviving another year because so many don't. You know, I sometimes even myself, I think, well, we've kept this going for, I lose track of times. It's 6 years or even coming up to seven now. You lose track because it's about survival at the beginning. And why so many don't is I think it's this new customer piece. You generally start, you don't start from nothing. You have, I mean, it's very true with some companies that you, first of all, you almost ask for help. So you reach out to family and friends and you have your lowest hanging fruit and people you know, and you win some of those. If it's a client, if you're selling a new beer, but you can't rely on people you already knew in your ecosystem forever. And it's because people then, it gets hard because you're trying to run your business and service these people, but then you actually need the newness coming in. That is where businesses begin to fail because that becomes difficult. And like I said, if you start to get the dreaded churn and your cash flow isn't right, it only takes a few, you know, a few clients to go away. You haven't got, you're not backfilling with newness. Your cash flow is tricky. People, it's hard. It is really difficult. But it needn't be if you become sort of, I mean, we talk about it process-based and system-based, and you have to have these things in place in the background to enable your creative marketing to work for you.
Mm. And again, we come back to messaging. I mean, how many of you, any business owners, how many times have you said, oh, but we need to make sure that people know this, that we do this, and that we're really good at this, and that the product does this, and it does this, and this. We need to get all these points across. And then and that's where we talk about noise, is it becomes noise for people. It becomes hard for customers to understand what your proposition is, what you stand for.
I mean, I've talked about service-based pieces because, we are a service-based business, but it's kind of the classic marketing. Marketing hasn't ever really changed, a full funnel marketing. And it's that sense of, same applies, if you target at the bottom here, and you initially, it's easy to sell to people who are already in your bottom funnel because they know you intimately, they know your product, they're your organic social media followers. But that will end. Those people will be exhausted, nothing left. If you're not having a full funnel approach where there's always new people coming into the top of your funnel, and then you're communicating with them and marketing to them in the right ways to then get people into your bottom of your funnel to then sell to, you will fail. And I've set up several businesses that have gone through that and failed because I wasn't marketing myself properly. Sounds nuts, doesn't it, as a marketing agency? But it gets difficult and it gets demoralizing because you're putting out content initially, and if it doesn't land the first 10 pieces of content you put out, it gets a bit demoralizing. You think, but you have to be consistent. And where I've remained consistent, which was with the marketing agency business, look, it's growing. We've got a team that's growing all around us. We've got plans. We've just went through a budgeting process for where we expect to be in 12 months' time. And you look and think, wow, that sounds ambitious, but it isn't, because it's the actual growth we need to get there is quite small on a month-by-month basis, because we have a plan. And we know what the marketing will be to bring people in. We know how many people we need to speak to before we convert them to a customer, because we've got a process. And all these things will really help you. And I think if you can apply these for yourselves, there's going to be gold in this. So I think, every week we'll just keep sprinkling a bit more gold. You can apply some of this or all of this for yourselves. I think you'll see a massive, massive benefit.
Beer time.
Beer time.
If we can call it beer.
Speed test.
I think the
is this, do you want this last? Is it, yeah, you saving this to your grand finale?
I feel like the shoof needs to be last.
Okay, let's go Erdinger, which again, because it makes me sound like I've got an issue I have had before.
I have had Erdinger before. And it's usually because it's the best of a bad bunch.
And I think because with alcohol-free beers, they have that sort of wheaty, unpleasant taste, whereas these are wheat-based kind of beers that they should have. That flavour should be in there, and I'm only going to give myself a drop.
We're hugely cross-contaminating here by neglecting the
clean
air glasses.
Straight away, there's some colour. Look.
Oh, yeah.
It's got some actual colour. It smells like an Erdinger should smell.
Does it?
Yeah. You can appreciate that. Oh, you're not getting that?
No, actually.
Really?
I don't know whether it's...
Maybe it's the combination of three other beers.
The cocktail of non-alcoholic beers I've got in my glass at the moment.
Yeah, that's perfectly pleasant.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't mind.
Very sweet.
It is. That's the lasting.
It's like an energy drink.
It's the lasting theme of all of them.
There you go. That's the right amount to try.
I'll be on the toilet all afternoon now.
Yeah. So every episode we end up asking each other the same closing question and see what comes out of it. What is the biggest event or achievement or learning from the past week for you, Rob Lyon?
This is a weird one, and this is businessy, and it's not, and it's a bit stoic-y. I had a bit of a falling out with my next door neighbors over something very immaterial, but I was in a point when I didn't have a plan, when I was stressed about business, and I reacted in a bad way. And I, using my stoic sort of views, and it's something I'd apply with business, difficult conversations are hard to have, but they're often the most important questions.
Yeah.
And I've been tiptoeing around, picking up my bins, thinking, well, am I going to bump into them? Am I going to have the conversation? And I just reached out and I apologized. I was in a, it was no excuse, but I was in a very stressful moment. I reacted with emotion. When I really think back of what I was reacting to, it was nonsense. But I apologized. They accepted my apology. And the weight that was removed was huge. And that applies to, I could equally have, and I've got some challenges in business still that I'm going to have some difficult conversations. But because I made that personal decision, my world didn't fall apart. There wasn't flames coming out of the rage. It was like, oh yeah, thank you for the apology. We thought it was out of character when we spoke to you that day. Thank you. It all went away. And then you can apply, the difficult conversations seem hard, but they often, the knot in the eyes of the person you're about to talk to.
It's easy to catastrophize
what will
outcome. And also the ego, again, stoic, absolutely stoic. The ego is the enemy, and it's a really, really difficult thing to overcome and to be.
Well, part of me felt like I really be apologizing? There was fault in both parts. I wasn't just being completely irrational, but I thought, no, let's just be the sort of bigger, put my ego to one side and just say, yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the other stoic saying is, it's not what happens, it's how you react to it.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And, you know, realizing that and then making amends. Brother?
Absolutely, thank you.
Good going.
Over to you.
We'll have a quick beer first.
Okay, go on then. This is the one I'm interested in. I think this one deserves a rinse. Ooh, I've gone glug. I've glugged.
It's a great colour.
It's a good start, isn't it?
That's a great colour.
The smell is where they all fail. To, you know, they're not.
Yeah, that doesn't. That smells like. I don't know. It smells like bread.
Yeah, that's. It seems where they all fall down.
Or maybe it should. Like wheat.
Oh, what do you think?
Oh, I. Your face went off. My face went down.
It doesn't taste like the brand I expected, but it, of all of them, it has the most flavour for me.
No, you know, that it is good. It's...
By contrast to its, you know, traditional brother, it's terrible.
Yeah.
But
as a drink, it's pleasant.
Yeah.
I would actually argue that the Erdinger's marginally better.
Do you think?
And I would also... observe so far, and I say this now before the Guinness, because we have Guinness Zero to finish up on, is that a lot of these, even though these last two have been wheat beers or Belgian beers, a lot of them, they're very similar. Apart from this Ahi, which was really poor, the ones that
you could throw a hat over all of them, really.
Yeah, have been pretty much of a muchness because I just think there's only so much you can actually do.
Mm. Okay, so over to you about your, what about your answer?
We booked our trip to Orlando.
Okay,
Florida, awesome. Which is, you know, the biting the bullet and spending quite a bit of money to book it up and go to all the parks and all that. But you can imagine that, you know, who's one of the best at marketing is Disney. certainly the way that they structure their pricing and their packages and, you know, sell the various benefits of the parks and all that kind of stuff is it's been a really interesting journey. And of course, I mean, even going through the process of booking car hire and all that kind of, you know, the all the extras that you have to do to get about out there. It's been really interesting observing the different companies' remarketing tactics through, through the retargeting ads on social and the follow-up emails from from the flight company and the tour operator and everything. For so many people, this is just the journey you go on. Obviously, being more marketing savvy, we're kind of spotting the trends and we're, you know, looking at the language and everything. But again, I'm sure there's a feature on that we could probably do in the future, just exactly how, for such a big, massive machine that, say, Disney is, to whittle through all of the different messages that they've got and all of the different things on offer of going to Disneyland and the packages and all the different parks that are in that region and what they all stand for and everything, you know, the thought process behind to have to, to clearly make it clear to the customer exactly what, you know, what the benefits are of each and why you should get this ticket over that ticket and everything. Really, I mean, it's complex. It's always going to be complex. Expertly done.
And I suppose if you bring it back to what we've talked about at length today, I mean, how many times have they showed content to you in your 40, whatever, years? to get to you as a customer now. You only probably become a customer of Disney, you know, as you said, it's expensive once.
Yeah.
So they don't, if they're interested, come to Disneyland. No, they've just been selling you a dream for years of content, taking the movies aside, but in terms of the Disneyland experience.
Yeah. And ultimately as well, one of the, you know, biggest thing is the experience. You know, you constantly just see people delighted at the experience, no matter what the cost. That it's not cheap to go at all. They lock you in for 7 or 14 day packages, which usually cost the same. So you've got to bite the bullet and spend the money. But you never question, well, is it really going to be that good? You know, am I going to come away going, well, that was a bit rubbish? You just know that's not going to be the case at all, because the reputation that they've created by delighting, you know, families and kids and grown-ups for years and years and years.
Kind of see the sign of their value proposition that you'd know, regardless of cost, you've got no doubt of the value you'll get from it, which is, again, businesses. Again, I was going to try and find like a supermarket-owned beer kind of thing here, but they don't seem to do that from an alcohol-free stance. But in terms of, I was sort of thinking about the price, why you can charge one for one and one for the other. You could just simply go to Thorpe Park every day for 2 weeks, but doesn't have the same lure, brand, power that Disney has.
Yeah.
And there's countless more theme parks in. If you were going for theme parks in North America, I mean, they've got the Six Flags one. I mean, there's every state's got hundreds, but Disney is the brand.
Oh, yeah.
It's a must-have.
To the point where there's so many in Orlando that you could buy a pass for all of the parks and all of the experiences. But we actually chose not, we say, well, look, we're just not going to go to that place. We're not going to go to the place because it's so important to make sure that we spend our time at the Disney parks.
Yeah.
Because it's all done so well.
And equally, again, this is kind of an aside, but you know, the whole story of Walt Disney, he failed plenty of times before he did Disney.
Yeah.
In terms of this, but he kept going.
Yeah.
Kept going, kind of this whole business perseverance thing. There's a story in that. We could revisit that another time, maybe.
Yeah.
No? Yeah. Fantastic. Brilliant.
We've got one final beer before we sign off.
Yes, I'll let you do this, bad boy.
It
looks a bit volatile, the can.
It's a battered can that I got from the back of my local store.
I'm going to stand back. Oh, no, safe.
I think we're okay. Because it was discounted. I don't think it was actually discounted to a great price. Oh, there you go. It doesn't open properly. Excuse the finger. It was discounted to £1, which
he's not gone for traditional Guinness pour. He's gone for a hard pour. Do you go for a hard pour with the alcohol-free one?
I think you're supposed to kind of go straight upside down. Nitro cans and stuff. We'll just do that much. I got it for £1, but I don't think that's actually a great discount.
Know. I don't really know.
I'm not sure I got quite the deal that I thought I was getting there. So, yeah, you feel like you should just be pouring a full pint of Guinness every time. But no, I have had this before, again.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that this is hands down the best of the bunch.
I think properly, in a blind test, you can tell the difference, but it's not. It's stark.
It's not difference, far apart. Yeah, it's not far at all.
It tastes like Guinness, you know, which is fascinating to understand how they've done it.
And this is 0.0 as well.
Yeah,
you were talking about 0.5 earlier that maybe it would make a difference. This is 0.0.
Yeah, ingredients are just the same. Fascinating.
Yeah. Maybe it's the kind of beer. Maybe it's because it's a stout.
I'm not aware of many other 0% stouts. Maybe there is. Be interesting to try another one if there is one out there.
That's a good.
I'm not aware of another.
That'd be an interesting thing to do. Yeah.
But I think, in summary of alcohol review, if you're looking at dry January or February or dry everything, and certainly I think there's an element of, we said the aesthetic. If you had a full pint of that in a pub.
Yeah.
You're not going to be standing there drinking like, you feel quite, you could sit there next to your friend drinking a proper one and not feel like you're having less of an experience.
Yeah. But that is not far off the actual taste of Guinness. It's
I'm not sure what it would form in terms of a head if you poured the full thing.
Yeah, that, I mean, it might be my poor boring there that's made us smaller, but I think, it's...
There you go.
Maybe it's the stout thing, or maybe they're just better.
Maybe.
But the BrewDog, the Hazy Jane did well as well. The Hazy Alcohol Free was a good one as well. That was tasty.
And again, if you're doing a hierarchy, I mean, sorry, Asahi, but you're on the table.
Yeah.
Positively horrible, I would say. I'd say that's kind of our role. I don't think, where do these two go?
I would put the Laser Cross at the bottom, just because I think
it was the least beer-like. Well, not the least pleasant, but the least beer-like of them all.
But it might have had an unfair treatment because it was after the Hazy Jane, which was flavoursome.
Put that there. So there you go. There's our roll call.
It's made its way back in. That was good.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Thanks for listening to the Contenting Business Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date on future episodes, and we'll see you in the next one. In the meantime, if you've got any questions, if you've got any comments, if you've got any topics that you'd like us to cover, let us know in the comments. And until the next time, see ya.